medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. Once again, my name is Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm a senior business analyst at Brightview Landscapes. With me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Hout Cooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Chandra. Well, in today's episode, we conclude our conversation with Linda Sloan Compton, business analyst with Pinal County and leader of the JD Edwards Business Analyst Special Interest Group. And I just want to say, before we conclude this conversation, I really enjoyed our time with Linda, and I appreciate her taking time out of her busy day to sit down and talk with us and share her knowledge. She has so much experience and is so willing to share. She's really representative, I would say, of this community and all that it has to offer.
I wholeheartedly agree with you, Paul. I really enjoyed brainstorming how to bridge the knowledge gap and the tools that you can use to do that. I enjoyed talking about the importance of special interest groups, which are clearly near and dear to my heart. And it's always fun to hear what our guests believe are their top three essential tools to do their jobs most effectively. So without further ado, let's get back to our conversation with Linda.
Kind of like Sonic the Hedgehog meets Tron Legacy, and then Gumby and Pokey are in charge of the file system and the whole little, you know, card catalog, not up to date.
Agreed.
Oh, wow.
Oh my gosh.
Card catalog.
Come on.
That's the...
Yes, I know, I'm dating myself.
Yeah, well.
You're dating all of us. It's okay.
Yeah,
we're all good. We'll roll up it. We're good.
Yes. I joke with my manager and then also our CIO. And I told him one day, I said, we either need to figure out how to download my brain. I have no idea who would try to process that to understand how to find anything, but you got to get it out of my head. And then, like, I literally just need a scribe that just does nothing but follow me around and take notes and all of these things that I rattle off, because I've spent all this time acquiring all of this knowledge. And he just looked at me and he says, well, I have a solution for you. And I said, okay, I'm game. It was, well, ChatGPT. And I said, then configure it, because it's got to take something from, I tell it everything. I'm not responsible for what it translates, but
wow.
He won't let me have it, even though he suggested it. I don't think there's an AI around that could translate what we as this role would spit out for it to try to transcribe and or pull the key information to make it make sense to anybody else. So probably just better stick with the white papers from Moss.
The funny thing is it does, it's a very intriguing idea. You know, there are AIs out there that can learn. There's large language models out there that can learn just based on what you give it. So unlike ChatGPT, which is learned off the internet or whatnot, there's others that are more closed box, isolated. Here, let me just feed it my series of PDFs. The problem is it goes back to what you said earlier, which is while you were doing all this, you are documenting, you are capturing. And there's, if there would have been some level of capture that could be converted to PDF and you drop it in, let the algorithm do its thing, then maybe there was hope. And there's abilities now. And maybe that's, you know, where we need to turn, is we have to do a better job of recording, transcribing, capturing, so that we can dump this into some sort of central notebook, you know, where you can run a large language model over the top of it and have it learn just based on what you feed it, versus letting it get confused with the rest of the real world. Because we know we live in this JDE land, and if you try to just apply the logic from the real world to JDE land, it's probably going to get misinterpreted. It's not going to work. Sonic the Hedgehog's going to glitch, and things are going to get disconnected.
Well, yeah.
Welcome to the world of Wreck-It Ralph.
And the visions of I have of this large language model following me as I troubleshoot And the paths, you know, like Linda mentioned, you go down one path and then you got to back up because that wasn't the right path. Now I got to go down this path and see if this is the right path. And then I got to come back. That poor large language model is going to be really confused. Like, which one ended up being the right path? Or was it a little bit from each?
Yes.
Yes, you're going to cause it to hallucinate, as they say. And who knows what sort of answer it's going to come up with then.
Whatever you do, do not let it be there while my developer and I are having a conversation, because we only talk JDE needs at this point when we are trying to build something, and nobody from the outside walking in on a conversation. Like, our CIO walked in one day and he goes, I have no idea what you two just said. It's like, it's okay. You don't need to know. Just sign off when I give it to you. Be fine.
Just approve. Just approve.
Just stamp. Just approve.
Rubber stamp.
Just approve. Yes. The struggle is real. But at the same time, while we sit here and discuss all of these problems and issues and the roadblocks that we run into, the amount of knowledge that exists in this community, it is amazing. And it's not thoroughly documented. There are some LMS systems out there, right, that have done a really good job of it, of taking the vanilla pieces and have taken the sound bites and, you know, and we use them for different things. So I'm kind of that hybrid between the visual and the audible translation pieces, because I can hear it and I can picture it in my head a bit doing things without having to put it on the whiteboard. Other people can't. They're one or the others. Some of those, like I said, some of those LMSs have done a really good job of the basics and putting that out there, but they're also not really readily available to everybody. Like those sound bites would be really great on Moss or even in the actual or on Quest, of those little nuances or a quick foundational or a larger learning library, and whether it's Oracle and Moss that does it or within that capacity. Let's be honest, LearnJDE, it's still struggling in some areas and not the easiest to search right now. It is a tool that I use heavily, but at the same time, there's pieces that aren't super easy to get to. So another one of those pieces I struggle with training new analysts of, you need to go here and you need to look at this. We bookmark a lot of things so that is readily available. But then at the same time, you look at third-party tools, even third-party reporting tools. There's some of them that they're quick 15, 20, 30-minute sound bites on how to use their product. Oh my gosh, they're invaluable. Because you can just top it out and go, I'm looking for da-da-da-da, and you get it. Where the JD Edwards Enterprise One side of the house, that's not as easy to get your hands on. Mm. That's where I think the home growing out of your business, your industry, of your next analyst is really critical. But you got to have somebody with a little bit of a technical mind to do it. Got to be very analytical to pull it off. And don't ever expect that you're going to do a project, hold it up and put it away in a box. Like that it never leaves your desk. I don't care how much you're done with it.
Yeah, because I think everybody in the middle of all this, as they're learning, as they're troubleshooting and learning, as they're creating and learning, as they're going through with this, as they're going through their own learning curve, the problem is that they're not given the opportunity or necessarily motivated at the time to capture it all as they go through it, right? The primary reason that they're doing whatever they're doing is to solve the problem, to deliver the new capability to whatever it happens to be. That's what's right in front of them. And by the time you come up for air and say, oh, okay, let me circle back around and capture what it is I just did, you got another wave hitting you of things that you have to take on. And the list just piles up of all the things that you'd love to document, that you'd love to capture, that you'd love to share, but the time never really presents itself. I think that's the most frustrating part about all of this, is everybody probably has those good intentions, but the reality is, you know, you're never allowed to really circle back around and see it through. I hear this a lot recently as well with some of the interactions on feature functionality within E1. You know, we'd really like it to be able to do this. And many times I say, well, have you asked? Well, nobody has time to ask. right? Because the business needs it today and we don't have it. So the immediate need is to go fill that gap, however you need to fill that gap, whether or not you're doing getting creative with the D&D toolbox, or you're working with your developer to do the C word that we're not allowed to talk about on this show, or you're seeking out third party, whatever it happens to be. But the need is, hey, I got to solve the business need. So circling back around with my team to let us know what it is that you had to do becomes less of a priority. So then enhancements don't get entered. You know, we don't get the requests, you know, as often as I would like to see in order to you know, try to help, right? And try to fill the gap, because the immediate need is to solve that business problem. And by the time you do that, well, what do you need to circle back around with me for? I've already solved the problem. So I'm moving on to the next problem. It's the same sort of thing.
Well, and the chances are once we've solved the problem, let's say we did circle back, you put it in, you know, you decide that, oh, that's a really good, you know, requirement. That's a really good business case. We like that. We're going to incorporate it. The chances are slim that we're actually going to rip it out and go with what you did, mm-hmm. just because there's more work for us to do that as well.
Right. Right. Right.
So there really is no reward, if you will, other than we might make somebody else's life easier. Another customer that might run into a similar issue.
Yeah. What's your motivation? And the ones that we really like are the ones where you just tell us to say, give me a processing option to make it do this. I mean, those are the ones we jump on all the time.
I know.
Isn't that
that's how I start all
for everything? Is just give me a processing?
If not a processing option, give me a hidden UDC. Why don't you? I got you. I see how it is.
Yeah. Since why do I need code change? Just give me a processing option and let me do that. That we're not supposed to talk about.
Wow.
So you mentioned, you know, a couple attributes that you see for what might make somebody successful in this role. You know, the curiosity, willingness to ask questions, being tenacious, being able to really dig in, bite on, and go. What other, you know, attributes would you look for? Obviously, you mentioned being analytical, but are there any other ones that you might look for in a person that would make them become an effective business analyst?
Definitely the analytical piece is always important in this role. But at the same time, you've got to be good at the listening part of it and the comprehension part. You can sit in meetings all day long and your end users can tell you where their pain point is because it's 15 clicks to do something, right? And if you're not careful, your immediate response goes to, well, we'll just personalize your form and it's 3 clicks, but you're losing what it is that they're trying to do or what the end game really is. So you have to be able to listen to it. You cannot take anything that they say personal at all. Because let's be honest, the system is our baby, and we take it very personal in anything that gets said against it. But I think your people skills really have to be up to speed, because you at the same time have to be able to talk them off of the ledge and out of the direction that they're going, because you know that it's never going to be delivered in that capacity. So you got to be able to listen to them. You have to be able to translate what it is that they're really after. You got to be able to say what you need to say in your own group, but not say it when you're in front of the client. Just a learned trait, by the way. Does not come naturally at all. As much as people want to look at IT and not in a customer service level, where we sit as analysts, we get the brunt of all of it. You got to be able to just let it roll. Got to let it roll.
So in a sense, you get the worst of both worlds from functional and technical. You sit right in between. And this is where I think we've said it before, Chandra, where you need thick skin. You can't take anything personally. Hopefully you have a good sense of humor. Apply it well. You know, have a lot of empathy.
Yes.
For, you know, your user community. Have empathy for your vendor too. Thanks. Just saying.
Processing option, man. Processing option.
Then I'll have empathy.
Then I'll have empathy. Oh, wow.
No wonder I'm being one of us.
Yes. I wonder how many of these conversations I'm going to have to come in with my sparring gear just to be able to take the hits, but we'll see.
You're doing good so far, Paul. You're doing good.
Just give us the processing option and we'll be happy.
Everything comes down to a processing
option. Processing option. How to keep your BAs happy. Processing option. Two words. That's it. Simple.
Yeah, I got one.
We'll configure the rest of it.
Every app has proof versus final mode. That's all I'm going to say.
That's all I need.
Kind of.
Of course, then, yeah. Then the next problem is actually getting your end user community to read that section.
And maybe not just want to skip and go straight final. Yeah, well, final. Mm-hmm. I don't really need to run proof. I'll just run final. It's fine. We're good. Mm-hmm.
How about the ones that don't know exactly what they're searching for and they go, oh, well, this report name looks good. And it's an update UBE that they have no concept of. Yeah, I actually had a department want to run a full listing of all of their open purchase orders. And they didn't, which we all know is super easy to do, right? You just need to be in the 4311 screen and say, here we go. And, you know, give me everything that's not in a 999 status and bada bing, bada boom, you got everything, right? No. They ran a open PO report piece and basically went in and updated the next status on every open purchase order by one level that we had set up in our configuration. And so, yeah, I spent a considerable amount of time researching, finding, fixing, create a new version of that specific application and change security pieces in it and all of the wonderful, 20 screens of processing options in procurement to let it do what I want it to do and locked everybody else out of it but me so I could go in and fix and correct and
wow. Yeah. So this is the new section of our show where we go into nailed it or what's the gnarliest thing that you've ever seen. Like we talk about our scars and our trauma.
Yeah, we've all had a few. Yes. Where somebody has done something in production and now you have to go fix it and it needs to be fixed yesterday.
And the bad part about some of it too, especially from an analyst standpoint, is when you're implementing your system and you're going through and putting things in play and setting security and building the menus for the end users and doing those pieces, you also don't have a good handle on what is truly an update UBE versus what is just a generating report, because there is no defining level in there. They don't all have final and proof. There's definite pieces.
Did you know staying in the JDE loop is easy with Quest? Sign up for the free JD Edwards newsletter or follow Quest JDE on LinkedIn or Facebook for the latest Oracle updates, new content publications, and news on upcoming webinars and events. For more info, visit questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.
All right, now that we're through our therapies portion of the show where we talk about our most traumatic events and how we recovered from them, you mentioned several tools along the way, including Data Browser, even Learn JDE as a good resource, but we're trying to capture kind of the top 3 to 5 tools all BAs need, because one of the questions we did get at the BA SIG when we were there at InFocus was, if I had to enable 3 tools for my BAs to make sure that they're successful, what would they be? So for you, Linda, what do you feel your top 3 tools are in your day in the life?
So JDE tables is an absolute must. If that's not one of the first things you give your BAs when they come on board to help them with the pieces, then you have definite gaps going on. Well, it's not always the greatest tool. It is very much so a good foundational, especially when you're talking to your developers and you're building your stuff and pulling it all together. And that's a definite that needs to take place. And of course, you make sure you have Moss favorited and that it's a quick resource and the actual management pieces in there, right? Of being able to save your favorites and being able to categorize those, because there's a lot of things that you come back to on a regular basis, on an annual basis, that is most definitely in there. And then the understanding of, like, say, I mean, we talked about data browser, right? There is a learning curve to it for sure. And then I hear a lot of people are like, well, just Google it. And our developer does. I just don't come from that school. And I think it's because I started with World and the Knowledge Garden. And you went to that documentation first, that's usually my drive, is go to Moss, do your searches there, look at your, even if you're looking at the implementation guides or the setup guides for where things have gone wrong, learn JDE with the, I personally like the technical specs and all the documents to show me all of the interconnects and the process flows. Those are uber helpful. And then, like I said, the tables, and then let's come to the table and have conversations about what you need to do. Those are big pieces for me. It's a lot to take in.
Yeah. And this is a shameless plug for another capability that even Chandra didn't realize that we have out there. Not capability, information, that if you actually go to the technical catalog, we actually do have our data models out there with relationship diagrams actually published, that you can download. To your point, yes, previously about trying to understand the relationships, trying to understand the interconnectivity between our tables and values and aliases and everything else, that may be a decent reference for some folks. Maybe not for everybody, but
yes,
at least we have made an attempt with each update to publish those as a reference for folks.
Well, and we've actually found them very helpful. I mean, I know they don't cover every possibility and every process that's out there, but I have leveraged them pretty extensively teaching our HCM payroll connections and how those connect, because that piece is pretty robust. But there's other pieces that just keep chugging away at them, guys. There's some more stuff you got to put in there.
Duly noted.
So you've been involved with the Business Analyst Special Interest Group, or SIG, for a while. Are you involved with other SIGs with Quest? And then kind of how has your involvement with, whether it's just the BA SIG or the other SIGs that you've been a part of, how has that benefited you kind of across your career?
We actually, this is kind of a plug that needs probably more, it needs to be a little more public out there, I believe. So when we moved from World to E1, granted, still an Oracle product, still JD Edwards, still all of those things, we did not know that Quest even existed as a support possibility. We didn't even know that Quest existed, or that there were conferences, or that there was somebody else out there drowning as bad as we were drowning, trying outside of a consultant, right? So we had partners that helped us to do the move and to do all of the integrations and the upgrades and everything. But we didn't even know that there was WUGs or SCUGs or any of it. So that was a huge learning curve for us. So the very first time that we walked into Collaborate, like, completely and totally overwhelmed, right? So then, of course, we jumped in both feet, found the financial SIG, found the HCM SIG, have been on the boards and active in those for a considerable amount of time. We've been heavily involved in the public sector SIG until it really just continued to diminish and change, and not as much activity going on in the actual public sector SIG. That's really kind of been dormant for a while now. Then the creation of the Business Analyst SIG. So I've been involved with it, I think, since its second year of development, of growth and coming to fruition. I've been various pieces on it. And then, like, the last several years, I've been as leader on it. We're rather informal. We don't really assign a whole lot of titles and stuff to it. It's a pretty open group. Ideas, comments, suggestions, you know, anything coming in that direction. I was heavily involved in which was the UPK SIG that then became the training SIG, and have had a lot of involvement in there and on the board, and part of the pieces of moving it from the UPK SIG to the training SIG. And that, as we've all known with new LMS systems and things like that, that the training SIG is not as robust going on in Quest and like that. It's still there and there's still some really, really great information that comes out of it, but it's just not a really thriving one, not like the tech SIG is now with all of the orchestration stuff and all of the changes and those things. But I think that the SIGs are super important in that realm of new information and new, and that we're not all sitting in silos, that if somebody's struggling with it, we're all struggling with it in some capacity. But at the same time, it's a really fine line because consulting firms and vendors and third parties and all these people want to, they start bugging you because they want to use it as the foundation to put their product out there. Well, on a limited basis, I like it. It's a new introduction of things, but you also don't get to use that as your sales base. So there's a fine line in those demos that happened. In-person stuff is absolutely great because there's a lot of ideas shared. There's a lot of things that take place. The monthly calls, there is a definite, as much as COVID helped us to do things a little more technically and remote, it's also killed a lot of interpersonal communications pieces. So the monthly SIG calls have definitely had to change over the years, and not just for us as the business analysts, but any and all of the SIGs really have. We've had to change that dynamic and how we try to pull conversations out of people and get the conversations going again that were a little more now. And I know you guys experience this too. You get on a call, you schedule a SIG, you do those things and people just turn you on in the background and keep working and you don't get that interaction. And you're like, I'm trying to give you valuable stuff here, people. What's it?
We learn best from each other in those interactions, right? And to have just one of us on camera or maybe not even on camera, quote unquote, lecturing at you, isn't necessarily conducive to learning. And as I've always said, I don't know it all. I need you guys. I want to learn from you just as much as I want to share with you what I've learned. I want to learn from you because there's an awful lot I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. And then I have to remind myself that just because I've been doing this for so long and have been either involved in the SIGs or just merely doing what I do at this point, that there's a whole new group, new crop of newbies out there that I know the three of us actually talked to quite a few of them at the last Blueprint and at In Focus, because they were like, I'm new to this. I'm just trying to figure out, I'm trying to get my sea legs under me. I'm trying to do those things. And I was like, you know what? We're going to have two or three of our SID calls that are just going to be navigating MOS, navigating LearnJDE. Quest has brand new sites. So let's resurface some of those that I think as those of us that have been in the business forget that refresher needs to happen, because we are bringing in new people and they're overwhelmed just like we were. So I have to remember to pull it back and do a handful like that.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it too, that some of the sessions that we need to do at our events going forward from even an Oracle standpoint is reintroduction of certain topics. We have a tendency to focus on just what the new stuff is, right? What's the latest thing with Orchestrator? What's the latest thing with enterprise automation? We forget to maybe brush up on the feature functionality that we've delivered over the years, the cumulative value, and letting everybody know what is really out there so that you can, yes, people are there to learn some of the latest and greatest, but they're also there to get their bearings right and to understand better what this product is and what it's capable of. And so we can do a better job of being more well-rounded with the sessions that we deliver.
I always say we don't know.
Somewhere. Right. Yeah, you're exactly right. We don't know what we don't know. And then that glossary somewhere of the key terms and the what does this mean and where did that come from? And we have a language barrier, but it's okay.
So maybe I shouldn't have started out the lingo, the JDE lingo one session with, you don't want to listen to us sit here and read through the dictionary. but apparently we still need a dictionary. So we will compose said dictionary as we go.
Or a translation document. This is what it means in JDE speak. This is what it means. Depending on where you are you a developer? Are you a business analyst? Are you somewhere in between? Are you floating between?
See, that's where I think AI would really come in well, is we'll just teach it all the lingo and then you can just submit your question, you know, tell me what UPK is. I mean, you mentioned UPK. What is that? There's so many other ones that were, you mentioned BI Publisher. We forgot to do BIP. Super Backflush was another one. SBF. Who knows what Super Backflush is? There's so many terms out there.
Indeed.
Well, that's why I was like, okay, I'm going to date myself on a few of these things, but it's all part of it.
It's all good.
It's all part of it.
It's a good thing. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
How about from a networking perspective, has being part of Quest helped you be able to meet and connect with other people that you've been able to bounce questions off of? Or, hey, have you guys run into X, Y, and Z issue?
Absolutely. Being part of Quest as well as the SIGs and being at the in-person events have definitely opened a lot of avenues, a lot of discussions, a lot of, hey, I'm going to make a phone call. You know, and so I may not put something in the Q&As or in the chat somewhere or those things, but the phone calls that happen afterwards or the emails that happen afterwards, if by far, like you said, we learn better from discussing with like-minded individuals and people that have experienced the same things. And I find myself, even in in-person sessions, going through and bring up a question, well, why did you, just out of curiosity, like, why did you do that versus doing this? Or, and some of them go, we didn't even know that that existed. You know, and they're presenting on an amazing topic, but it's not something that they'd even broached. Or we do things a little bit different than what you do at Brightview, or those different pieces that have led to other conversations. And then somebody comes up to you and asks you a question and you start into it and they're like, wow. And then you realize that you do have a pretty good amount of knowledge that you can share, because for the longest time, you have this feeling that you're the one that's stuck in the dark and you really don't have a grasp on it. And then it makes you realize that you do have a decent grasp. It's not good, but it's decent, and can share that with others. And I think that has really been invaluable all the way across work friendships and those things, that it, you literally have a pool of resources to reach out to that are, there's zero judgment. There's zero interpretation problems, that they're willing to be like, yeah, like we wrote that in HTML here, we'll share our code. Before we got to have actual composite pages that were easy to configure, we HTML them. So that sharing in the industry and just the knowledge and the networking has really been invaluable.
Thank you.
Even if Paul won't give us cheat codes.
I know, right? Or processing options.
Well, I should have wrote down cheat codes. We need a whole cheat code page. Wow.
Yes. Yes.
That's what I meant by hidden UDCs.
We wouldn't be having the hidden UDCs. Yes. Custom UDC tables that I can't make the business process work on them because I missed a step somewhere.
That's never.
Undocumented feature.
An undocumented feature. I like it. Feature.
I like it. Yes. Feature.
Awesome.
Keyword feature. Yes.
All right. Well, we should probably wrap. Wanted to thank you, Linda, for spending so much time with us today. Obviously, this has been a great session. It was fun catching up and covering as much as we did today. I mean, we covered a lot of ground.
This has been wonderful. It's been great. I think we had some really good conversations. From my perspective, I'm happy to hear about how much that I could relate to you with in terms of, you know, oh my gosh, she views very similar things in terms of the tools that you use to do your job. Some of the attributes that we call out for what might make an effective business analyst. It was like listening to my old conversation with Paul all over again. So
right?
It was good.
Yeah, trying to seeing some of that reiterated and getting that validation. But also, you know, again, understanding where this gap really resides, because sometimes it's hard. It's hard to articulate exactly what's missing. And I think you did a fabulous job of illustrating or describing that difference between functional and technical and what needs to be explained in between, and dropping some ideas about how we can maybe fill that gap and other things other than cheat codes and hidden UDCs and processing options, other things that we can do to try to make it easier.
You have a whole team. Those are super easy to give us. Like, what the hell?
Super easy. Ah, oh, jeez. Yes. Yes. Definitely slacking. No doubt.
Slacking. Slacking. It's okay.
Very good.
It's okay. No, and I mean, thank you guys so much for, you know, even thinking of, first off, starting all of this and then continuing to grow with it and really trying to dive into those pieces that are missing and what do we need and where are we at? What's going on? It's a huge step. And I commend both of you guys for taking this on.
My pleasure.
It's exciting. It's fun. Mm-hmm. We're enjoying it. We're learning a lot along the way.
Yes, we are.
So it's going to be a fun adventure.
Yep.
Yes. Definitely. Yes.
And we're doing a live recording of Blueprint. That'll be
fun. Oh, boy.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
This Blueprint will be very, very interesting, to say the least.
That's one way of putting it.
Wow. Wow. What a prep for that one.
Scary.
Add it to our list. It's all good.
Awesome. No, thank you guys so much. Like I said, this is huge, and it hopefully continues to roll and make some advancements and make some changes and help all of the end user group. And maybe we can finally understand where Paul's coming from on why we don't get a processing option.
Maybe, Linda, but you know, I'm not going to keep my fingers crossed.
I mean, he should probably just put his sparring gear on and we'd get further on that.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. I say we challenge him to bring in a blueprint.
Yeah. Yes, just bring my sparring gear.
In-person recording is going to involve Paul in sparring gear. Yay!
I'm ready to take the hints.
Bring our best.
Bring it.
Or kick.
That's right.
Yes, all of it. Frustration, blah. Here you go.
Yeah.
Get it all out.
I am your outlet. Wonderful. I'm glad I could. This is my duty to the community here, by all means.
This is how you give back, Paul.
Take your best shot.
Yeah.
Super cool.
I love it.
Super cool.
Awesome.
Yes. This is good.
A lot of fun.
Yes.
Good stuff.
Very fun. Thank you so much again, yes. Linda. We appreciate your
taking
time out of your day to be with us.
And I'm going to go work with my Oracle support. I'm going to work with my buddies over there, and we're going to get the JDE BA hotline, and one for
perfect
technical help, two for functional help, and three for therapy.
Perfect.
Perfect. And just title it as Fun Tech, and then you'll get a whole bunch of hits. It'll be fine.
Exactly. See? We bring the fun to technical.
Fun tech.
Exactly.
Not again.
You should be a fun tech.
Not again.
You're a functional technical expert. You become a fun tech. That should be the new job description.
Funk tech.
Not funk tech. Fun tech.
Come on, man.
Well, I'll talk to you two later. I got to get to my next meeting. So thanks again,
Sounds
Linda.
Good.
Greatly appreciate it. All right.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Holy Hannah. That was a great three-part series with Linda Sloan Compton.
Holy Hannah is right. What an amazing discussion. Any idea what this week's Midwesternism of the day is, Chandra?
Holy Hannah, I have no clue.
Holy Hannah, seriously? I'll give you one guess.
Only one? Holy Hannah.
That's right. You guessed it. Holy Hannah. It's an expression used to express shock, surprise, or astonishment, where the Hannah replaces an expletive that normally follows the word holy.
Join us for our next episode where we play a bonus round of Lingo Bingo, where we cover some additional terms that we apparently missed in our original round of Lingo Bingo in hopes that we'll get everyone to get a bingo and fill out their card completely.
Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Catch y'all later.
Toodles.
Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.